Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be able to connect with you. I was actually talking with a group of leaders, and we've just been blessed that this virtual connection, this online ministry has been so successful. And I thank you for your prayers. It's just not just reaching Ebenezer members, but it is expanding abroad. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Our biggest purpose is just to get forth the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for us on that cross, and he was resurrected on the third day with all power and all glory, and he's now seated on the right hand of the Father praying for us. With that, that's why we walk as living epistles. I just really been processing that in these days and times, people need to see Jesus. Yes, they need to see an example of true Christians. The world has seen a whole bunch of examples of hypocrites and people that want to do it their own way, but we have to make sure that we're submitting ourselves to the call that's on our lives and that we're exemplifying the teachings of Christ. So I encourage you to do that. And we also encourage you to read along with us in our Bible reading plan. In our Bible reading plan, we've gone through the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're in the New Testament now, going through the Gospels, and it's been an exciting journey. You're like, Pastor, I didn't start off. Hey, you can still jump on the Bible bus with us. And when we get to December, we'll just kind of go back and you'll kind of splice it together. But I encourage you that it is a true way of growing in the Lord. I want to thank you so much for praying for all of the activities that we have on our virtual connection throughout the week. We have Monday manna at 7 o'clock, various teachings. Then Tuesday, we have our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis, great history. And then on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Luke, and we'll soon be transitioning to the book of Acts, just getting the biblical story, the mandates, the teachings of Christ. And then on Thursdays at 6 o'clock in person in our sanctuary, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're actually taking a little sidetrack now because within 1 Corinthians, it talks about that we should judge angels. And so there was a lot of interest that was piqued in the class. And so we're going to take a little study on angels, just seeing and what the scriptures say about angels. And I'm telling you, if you are with us, it is not what has been painted or portrayed within history. But I thank God for the 66 books. As always, thank you so much for praying for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. We also thank you for your giving. God loves for us to purpose in our heart. And he says, when we purpose in our hearts, we can be those cheerful givers that he has called us to be. We don't have to give out of a grudgingly attitude or of necessity, but we can really say, Lord, thank you. You have done so many things. So we thank you, whether you're using our app or you're giving into our secure mailbox at the church or coming by, dropping it in there, or you're in our in-person services. We thank you. Thank you. There are so many opportunities to give. If you go to our website and go to our events page, a lot of things coming up. We've got something that we're supporting as a church. Tyrone Woods and Anita Woods are leading that. It is Coats for Kids. They've chosen a couple of schools within our community. We're actually going to purchase coats so that these kids can have coats. I did not understand years ago that this was really a necessity. I thought, you know, kids, I grew up and my parents blessed me to have coats, but I realized in these days and times, there are a lot of challenges and people are making different choices. So we've been able to kind of fill that gap. So we encourage you, if you have some extra time, go to our events page and get the information on that if you want to participate. Also, we're still giving to our community, those that are abroad in need. And we also want to continue to pray for all these things that are worldwide because it does impact us. Well, I'm thinking about the word. I'm thinking about I want God to fulfill his calling in me. And I pray that you're on the same page. So I want us to go in a time of just focusing on him, thanking him for his grace and mercy. And we'll see you soon.
Today, I'll be reading Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our request to God, And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Thank you.
A look of love was on his face, thorns on his head. The blood that stained his scarlet robe was stained of crimson red. Though his eyes was on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time when he was on the cross. You and I was on his mind. He knew me, and yet he loved me. He whose glory made the heavens shine. I'm not worthy of such mercy. When he was on the cross, you and I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the cross, you and I was on his mind.
It is so, so good to know that when he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. I just thank the Lord for his love for the body of Christ. As we're back into this topic that we've been dealing with, fulfilling our calling, the Lord truly wants to use us, as we talked about at the beginning of this service. In this dark time, there's so many challenges, wars and rumors of wars, mass shootings. People need to see Jesus. Let's go to that memory scripture that we've been going over and over so that we can realize God is always in charge, and that should be comforting. That 1 Corinthians 6:19, we've been reading it together, reading it aloud so we can get it into our mind and seep into our hearts. So let's read 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And this is the important part I'd always thought, but whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Let's say that again together. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Every time I go to that scripture, you're like, Pastor, we're supposed to repeat it together. Yes, reading it aloud, getting into our mind, coming into our heart, but it's just so good that we're not our own. Let's go on a moment of prayer as we just think about how good God is and that he has us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've made. Lord, with all the challenges that are occurring all around the world, we thank you for this season that you've called us, Lord, to stand up and to be an example of who you are. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are looking and listening. Maybe some don't know you. And I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put in chat, amen, wherever you're sitting, standing at, just say amen. Today we're transitioning into another portion of the book of Philippians. We want to go Philippians chapter 3 and 14. Philippians 3 and 14. This book is so rich with just the knowledge of God and what he's doing even in this season of our lives. So as we focus on this Philippians 3:14, go ahead and get your note taking apparatus. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures today, back and forth through the book of Philippians, so that we can see this total picture of how God is actually going to fulfill his call within our lives and how he's doing it right now. So look at this Philippians 3:14. Paul the Apostle says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to that again, Philippians 3:14. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want to speak from a title today, The Upward Call. The Upward Call. Now, if you remember when we came in at the beginning of this service, my background, it had that horizontal and vertical. So that upward call, literally, we are connecting with God. So as we're on this earth, we understand that God is in control. Therefore, we are depending on his power and his authority. So we want to focus on that upward call. Today's time frame is about AD 62 of these particular scriptures. Paul the Apostle has gone through so much. He has showed us his challenges. He's also let us know the people that he's connected with. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in that jail and they sung and they praised the Lord. That Philippian jailer saw their faith and he was saved. This is that church, the church of Philippi, that it comes out of. Remember we talked about Lydia on last Sunday. All of those are encompassed in this. And Paul actually expresses within this book that his afflictions actually worked out for his good, that God was able to use all his struggles, all his troubles to actually produce a powerful call in the apostle's life. As we get into this section, he wants us, as he's led of the Holy Spirit, to make sure that we're walking by faith. He also is warning against confidence in our flesh. And so as we're walking in the calling that God has put on us, we've got to remember it's all about him and not about us. He's using us so that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. Let's pick up this Philippians chapter 3 and that 12th verse. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press in the chat. Can you put press, P-R-E-S-S, wherever you're sitting at, standing, say press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Here's the point. It's all about Jesus. Yes, it's all about Jesus. I kind of made that transition in that Paul the Apostle was like, we can't get caught up in ourselves. And we really have to understand as we're submitting ourselves more to the Lord, we're going to sense God's peace and his love. But we always have to keep that mindset. You know what? Our calling and doing what God has called us to do is all about Jesus. Paul's major desire was to be a single person purpose, which was Jesus. All right. He was thinking about, okay, my single purpose person or my single person purpose is all about getting closer to Christ. It's all about focusing on him and crossing that finish line. Notice again, this Philippians 3:12, that second part, he says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This picture, Paul was very influenced by the Greek culture there. It's the picture of a Greek runner and would kind of reach out. If you look at some of the closer races, especially the sprints, many times as they're running to get across that finish line with an opponent that's about at the same speed, they will stretch. I've seen some of them kind of dive across of it because they want to make sure they get across that finish line first. This is that picture here that Paul, he says, you know what? I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has for us. And I want to encourage you as we're thinking about that upward call, are you pressing? Are you straining to get across that finish line? Because that's going to take all the effort that we have. But please remember this, when we're weak, then are we strong? Look at Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You see that picture we're going to talk about, reaching forward. Here's the point. Leave it in the past. Yes, leave it in the past. I know some of you are blessed by that one. Leave it in the past. I found out in my life, if you don't learn how to press ahead, the enemy's always going to be pulling you back. We all have made mistakes, right? We've all had struggles within our lives, but we have to stay focused on God. We have to stay focused on what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives today. Philippians 3:13, again, look at that second part. He says, but one thing I do. He said, this is one of the main things. This is what helps me to really fulfill the calling that God has in my life. One thing I do, I've got to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. But we all understand it is hard to run at your fastest in looking behind you, right? Because if you look behind you, you have obstacles that you're going to trip on. And so many people, when it comes to their calling and being used of the Lord, they spend too much time looking behind them and not looking forward. And so they misstep. And the enemy, he is a master of throwing stuff in front of us. So we have to stay focused. Here's a question I really want you to think about and process. What things from your past are hindering your present? Yes. What things from your past are hindering your presence? So you're taking too much time looking back that is actually causing you issues today in your presence. You're not being used fully the way you should be because you're caught up in your past. I got some quotes, and these two quotes I'm going to give you really bless me and challenge me to look at my life. Author Mandy Hale, she wrote this, and really I began to process this as I think about the upward call. She says, to get over the past, you first have to accept that the past is over. Can you put in the chat over? Over. Can you say over? Over. That's a powerful word. The past is over. No matter how many times you revisit it, analyze it, regret it, or sweat it, it's over. It can hurt you no more. And this is critical. But so many Christians are so caught up in the past and they're allowing the past to hurt them when it's over. And so what you're doing, you're anxious and you're getting caught up in sin, worrying about those things that you can't change. But we've got to realize that God has given us a remedy through his scriptures that we can trust him. I love this quote. Podcaster Jacqueline Johnson, she said this. She says, do you like neck pain? Then stop looking behind you into the past. Isn't that good? So many have neck pain that they're not focused on the upward call because they're looking behind the mistakes of the past, the struggles, what somebody else did to you or what they should have done, right? All of these things. We've got to listen to God's voice and focus ahead. Now that whole thought, you're like, okay, pastor, I'm supposed to focus ahead. I'm supposed to hear God's voice, but I got a lot of stuff. So how do I remedy that? First John John 1:8 talks about this. First, we have to embrace where we are. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we have to embrace. We're sinful people. We mess up. That's why we need a Savior, right? That's why we need Christ. That's why we need His Holy Spirit on the inside. But 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, though, when we realize I messed up in my past, I've made some bad mistakes, I'm going to confess those sins. And then He says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Can you put in the chat, cleanse? Cleanse, that's a powerful word there, because we have to realize God is the only one that can clean us up. Wherever you're sitting, standing, say cleanse, cleanse. He cleanses you. He is cleansing you through what He's done on Calvary, that the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at this, Philippians 3:14, the upward call. It says, I press. You know what I'm going to ask you to do in the chat. Could you type press wherever you're sitting, standing, just say press. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love the construction of that. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's a one word point here, but it's powerful. Push. Yes, push. Can you type that out in the chat, wherever you're taking your notes at, wherever you said, just say push, push. P-U-S-H. Now, when I was thinking about this, really, a guy just took my heart. I triggered back to somebody else's teaching, or it was online, so I did not come up with this. So this push is going to be used today in several ways as an acronym. And that acronym, you'll see it, pray until something happens. Yes. Pray until something happens. We're going to push. And so that pressing, that reaching, straining ourselves to get across that finish line to be used of the Lord is in that same vein. We're going to pray until something happens. There ought to be some shouts or amens out there. When you're walking, God, you got to pray. You got to pray. I was talking to my wife, Bianca, the other day, and just talking about the call on our lives. And sometimes it can get heavy. And it seems like, you know, you get through one victory and then another challenge comes to get to that victory. And it's a process. But I've realized if we could do it ourselves, we truly would be walking the call that God has for us. God wants us to depend on His power. God wants us to depend on His authority. He wants us to realize He is the one that's ordering our steps in this upward call. This should be our constant thought as we're walking the Lord. I got to push. I got to pray until something happens. Lord, use me today. Use me for Your service. Don't wait till Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. God, I want to be used every moment of the day. God wants to use you. The age Paul actually writes to Timothy talking about his call, Paul's call, 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You see that upward call? He was connected upwardly and not on that vertical plane or that horizontal plane. He was like, I'm going up simply because that is my focus. The enemy wants to keep us on this horizontal plane, but God wants to raise us up into that vertical standards. What goals are you pushing towards in your life? Yes, that God has put on your heart, that you're actively going, God, if You don't help me, I cannot get here. So often we continue to connect to that horizontal plane, as said earlier, but we have to decide, God, I'm reaching up to You, that upward call. Look at this, Philippians 3:15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Here is the point, maturity. I truly feel in these days and times, one of the challenges to the body of Christ is, are we growing up? So many fellowships have chosen to just be babies in the Lord. I love souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. The Lord does that. He brings them in, and there is baby Christians, but we can't stay baby Christians. I think all of us can identify. If you have a child and that a child stayed at the age of two for 25 years, that would be a problem. We're talking about Benjamin Button stuff that's going on. We would be concerned about that. But yet so often in the Christian life, we just kind of live at a substandard and we don't want to mature. Pastor Woodrow Kroll, he gives a awesome quote within his book, and it's a lengthy one, but I'll read it quick going through it. But I want you to think, I want to point out some really defining moments within this quote. He says, as many as are mature should share Paul's willingness to suffer and die for Christ and to bend every effort in the quest for likeness to the Lord Jesus. This is the mature view of the Christian faith. Some would call it extreme or radical or fanatical, but the apostle states that those who are full grown will see that this is the only sane and logical, reasonable response to the one who shed his blood for them on Calvary. We understand to give everything to him, to connect to that upward call. That's the only reasonable thought we can come to, the only logical thought, because he's given it all for us. Paul realized that not all will agree with him in adopting such a dangerous philosophy, but he expresses the confidence that if a person is really willing to know the truth of the matter, are you willing willing to know the truth, God will reveal it to him. The reason we have such an easygoing, complacent Christianity today is because we do not want to know the truth. I see it all over people talking about they want to know the truth, but they're like, I don't really want to. I say that, but I'm not actively pursuing that truth. We're not willing to obey the demands of ideal Christianity. God is willing to show the truth to those who are willing to follow it. And so the question I have for you, as we're talking about this upward call, are you willing to follow it? I remember it. I think it's a Few Good Men or something. It was in the courtroom scene, and in that, and it was like, I just want the truth. I just want the truth. And he's like, you can't handle the truth. I believe we can handle the truth with the Lord. He's told us that, but sometimes we just don't want the truth. The desire to be used by the Lord in our upward calling is a growth process. Yes, that we should yearn more and more as we get closer to the Lord to be like him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, please hear this, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Isn't that our growth process? Don't we expect that from those that we have trained up within our family, our children, as said earlier? We expect them, their child, but we expect them to mature and to become adultlings, to be able to take care of themselves and to make adult situations. Earlier within the book, Paul the Apostle actually spoke of this in 1 Corinthians 3:1. He says, and I do, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And then he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? There has to be a maturity process in this upward call, this calling that's on our lives. We often talk about in an education realm, the attention span has gone down. With our modern media, we've got X and we've got Twitter, we've got all these things. We're just used to swiping. And so a lot of our kids, the focus is not there. And I would say it's not because they can't focus, it's because the maturity level has actually gone to an all-time low. And it's even in the church, it's even when it comes to reading the Bible and staying focused and just reading a common book, our focus can be so fragmented. But we've got to mature. We've got to say, Lord, I need you to speak, and however long it takes, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to grow to that point to stay focused. And that's the critical state within the church. We've got to say, God, I want to do whatever I can do to hear your voice, to walk in you, that I can be in that upward call. The Spirit even speaks in Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. And I have determined, just being a pastor for an extended time, I'm like, I want to teach the word of God. I want to give the milk, but I want to give the meat. I want people to be able to mature and grow. So many times, you know, with little babies, you got to entertain them. You know, when you give them the food, you got to bake the little plain thing and you're here, open up your mouth and everything. You know what? We got to get past that. We got to entertain people to get the food, the good news. They got to be able to sit up and pay attention so that they can eat themselves and feed. That is the process of this upward call. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That's why I am so excited about the calling on my life and your life. As we're in the word of God together, he is actually transforming us, changing us from the inside out. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's what we're going through, this process, this change process within our lives as God is using us. We're on the solid food. When you're going line upon line, precept upon precept, getting the word of God and getting excited about, you're getting fueled with the word of God, that's where the edification takes place. We are connecting upwards. We're connecting to God, that upward call. Look at Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. 3:18, for many walk. Can you put many in the chat? Can you just say many? Because I want you to get this. We're challenged. We're challenged to stay connected to that upward call, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping. Paul says, I'm crying. Please get this. This is such an important point, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Here's the point. Watch your walk. Yes, watch your walk. This is a fight. In order to stay continually connected to our upward call, you got to watch your walk. I'm telling you, there are pitfalls around you. There are landmines that are around you. There are slippery places. That's why we got to press. That's why we got to keep looking forward, and we can't look behind us, because there's all kinds of adverse conditions where we're going with that upward call. Paul wants them to follow his example as he follows Christ. He said, you know what? I'm focused. I'm pressing to the finish line. I want you to look at me, but realize it's not about me. It's all about Christ. But notice again what can happen if we don't watch our walk. That Philippians 3:18, that second part, he says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Yes, he said people can be in the fellowship of the church, but they can actually be enemies to the call of others, not helping others to walk, not even desiring themselves to walk, but they become enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at that 19th verse, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. We see that many people are just living for the next food eatery. They're just living for the next meal. Look at that. It goes on, and whose glory is in their shame, who said, set their mind on earthly things. We got to be like Mary. Remember that Mary that brought that alabaster jar and she poured it, all that expensive perfume, on Jesus. That's what we got to do. We got to get, God, whatever I have, I give it to you, because it was never mine anyway. It's all about your grace and your mercy. Paul exhorts the church of Philippi earlier in this book in Philippians 2:12. Listen to this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he goes on, as you always have obeyed. And so he's talking to that fellowship, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. As he was going through this book, he's just reminding them over and over again, it's all about Christ. Work out that salvation. We've got to make sure that we're watching our walk. Look at Philippians 3:20 as we are just kind of tying all these thoughts together. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. I've used this word a lot already. This is the point, the transformation. The transformation. It's that whole thought of the caterpillar to butterfly, that transformation. God is taking us higher, that upward call, that vertical ram, that we've got to make sure that we are really allowing that transformation to take place within us. Look at that Philippians 3:20. He said, for our citizenship is where? Go ahead and put it in the chat. Heaven, wherever you're sitting at, standing at, just say heaven. We are citizens in heaven. It's been interesting with this Israeli and Hamas war, what's been going on. My daughter's in Washington, D.C., and she has a lot of people that are in the foreign services, ambassadors, all of these things. And some of the Israeli people, they were actually over here for school, going to school. They were called back home. Why? Because their citizenship was in Israel. And so when the fighting went on, man, I don't know if they got a page or whatever. They're like, you got to come home. You got to enlist into the our armed services to protect your country. And I find that interesting, that even when we're in different places, we got to understand our citizenship is in heaven. When God needs us, we got to go. And literally, as we're in that upward call, we're listening to his voice every moment saying, God, I want to be used for your glory. Now look down. It says, we also eagerly. Yes, eagerly. That's it. Excitedly. We have a passion. We talked about that last Sunday, that we're eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that 21st verse. Who will transform? Transform. Can you put it in the chat? Transform. Can you say transform our lowly body? So literally, as this upward call is processing in us, we are being transformed. Old saint says, you know what? I may not be what I want to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Any amens? Just scream out hallelujah out there. You can say, God, I thank you that you are changing me. You are transforming in this upward call. Remember Romans 12:1. I love this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What is it? Look at this. A living sacrifice. And as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. We're talking about this upward call. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are there any saints that says, God, use me. I want to connect with this upward call on my life. But look at these final verses as we pull it all together. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I love this. Can I read that one more time? Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Final point, stand fast. Yes, stand fast. This stand fast, Greek, it's the picture of a military word. I'm very familiar with it. Being in the military, it's being at attention. You know, we snap to attention. And the reason a military person goes to attention so that we can focus and we can await the command. That we don't have to take a long time to process it because we're already at attention. That's what it's called, standing fast. And we're waiting for the commanding officer to give us what we need to do. It's the same thing as we're in this upward call and following the Lord. God wants us to stand fast. He wants us to wait on him. He wants us to be ready to be used at any time. He wants us to be able to hear his voice, that still small voice, and do what he tells us to do. It's all about the upward call. Any amens out there? But isn't that what Jesus did for us? Paul writes, led of the Holy Spirit. I told you we're going to be through all this book. He actually takes us to the cross in Philippians 2:5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:8. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Can you scream out obedient to the point of death, even to the death of a cross? There ought to be some shouts of praise. I know about the cross of Calvary, where he carried our sins and bore our griefs for us so that we could be connected to this upward call. Philippians 2:9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Yes, he stayed in that grave 3 days, but he got up, and now he's been exalted, that at the name of Jesus that every knee should bow. Can you scream out Jesus real quick for me? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the God of Father. We must realize, because he has paid such an awesome price for us, he wants to use us in an amazing way as we say, God, connect me to the upward call. It is all about Jesus. Saints, this is our season. Yes, Christ is everything. Christ meaning the anointed one. Jesus has paid it all to him we owe. As we think about that, I encourage you today to get on your knees. If you can't get on your knees, sit down before him, lift up your hands, whatever you have to do, and say, God, use me. Repent, confess those sins. We talked about it. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse, and say, Lord, connect me to that upward call in Christ. I want to live on that horizontal or that vertical plane, not that horizontal. I want to go up. I want to connect up to you. It is so easy to just want to stay in the same old, but we want to go vertical. We want to connect. We want to go upward to him. And as we're connecting with him, I'm telling you, life is so sweet. But remember, the enemy's always pulling us down, trying to pull us back to that horizontal. We're like, I got it. But wait, he's going to come. He's going to grab you and try to pull you down. But guess what? All things are possible to those that believe in Jesus. If you don't know Christ today, today's your day. We want to get you from horizontal to vertical. I want you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, you will be saved. That is good news. You realize that you need a Savior. And it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift. Accept that gift today to live your life in Christ, to focus on that upward call. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for those who are giving their lives to you, Lord. From the baby Christians who desire to mature, Father, to those who are mature. And we just want to submit more to your upward call. Lord, take us out of that horizontal living and help us to focus on that vertical, Lord, that upward calling. And we thank you for this day that you've made. Lord, thank you again for your immense grace and mercy. Thank you for your word that encourages us. Lord, thank you for that transformative process that's taking place in our hearts as we walk in the calling that you put in our lives. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Someone asked a question. Why do we sing when we lift our hands to Jesus? What do we really mean? Someone may be wondering, all right. When we sing our song, At times we may be crying, and nothing's even wrong. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and that's the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah. I give the praises to you. Glory, hallelujah. You're the reason why I sing. Someone asked a question, why do I sing? When I lift my hands to Jesus, what do I really mean? Someone may be wondering, when I sing my song, at times I may be crying, and nothing's even wrong. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and that's the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah. I give the praises to you. Glory, hallelujah. You're the reason why I sing. And when the song is over, we've all said amen. And our hearts just keep on singing, so the song will never end. And when we cross that river to study war no more, we will sing our songs to Jesus, the one whom we adore. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and that's the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah. I give the praises to you. Glory, hallelujah. You're the reason why I sing. You're the reason why I sing. You're the reason why I sing.
Dear Heavenly Father, I know that there are 66 books in the Bible. And the Bible is the divinely inspired, documented word of you. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah are just a small scale version of the entire 66 books in the Bible. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me your eternal gift of blessings to become 66 years of age yesterday on October 21st, 2023. And it is my fervent belief that you have given me a spiritual trinity of confirmation. That confirmation being the 66 books in the Bible, the 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah, and the 66 years of my life. You gave me life to my spiritual soul and to my human existence in the year 1957, which for me represents 1,957 years after the crucifixion, death, the tomb burial, and the third day resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. So God, you have blessed me with 66 years of life to study and learn of myself and to apply my knowledge of self with the knowledge and wisdom you have provided me in the 66 books of the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, having been granted the favor of reaching this glorious age of 66, I pledge unto you that I will read all 66 books of the Bible by my 67th birthday. And in doing so, I will complete your eternal divine purpose of me becoming a living, breathing testimony of your eternal word of truth. For I believe, O Heavenly Father, with all my heart, that you have ordained my life and everyone else's life with the 67th book that you have written in the book of eternal life. The Bible uses the book of Genesis, the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, and the book of Revelations, and all the other books in the Bible to teach us and to help us learn about you. Well, I believe that you have given me and every person who has ever lived or will ever live a more personal and intimate book to learn from in addition to the 66 books in the Bible that you have already divinely written. And I believe that everyone's personal and intimate book can be appropriately called the book of you. That's right. Your 67th book is called the book of you. This is the title of the book that you, O Lord, has written for each and every one of us to study and learn from. Someone who was very clever and insightful, and no doubt who apparently loves your word, O Lord, created an acronym for the Bible. And I believe you, O Lord, gave them the wisdom to do so. And you did so in order for us to pay attention to what your word says. They coined an acronym for the Bible that reads, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. This acronym conveys to me that some type of lessons will be taught. Well, I do consider the Bible to be an instructional manual because it provides lessons of life through your word that has been revealed to mankind for man to study and learn of your plan of salvation for your chosen people and for all the people who declare their faith in you through the belief in your son, Jesus Christ. Since the Bible is presented as an instructional manual, you have instructed us through that manual to do what? To study, to show thyself approved unto God, as recorded in the book of 2 Timothy 2:15. And you have also instructed us through that manual by saying to us, but let a man examine himself, as recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians 11:28. So, Lord, your word makes it very clear that not only do you want us to study and live the lives of the biblical characters that your word has offered as examples for us to learn from, but you also want us to study ourselves and to learn from our own self. By studying your word through the lives of the biblical characters that you have revealed to us, and by studying our own individual self, you can develop the wisdom and understanding of what your word requires of us, and then we can become closer to you in our journey to seek everlasting life with you. So, dear Lord, I truly believe that you want me and everyone else to learn from your 67th book. And I also believe that this is the most important book of all because it represents our own mistakes, our own trials and tribulations, our own triumphs, and our own failures that you want us to learn from equally as much as you want us to learn from the mistakes, the trials, the tribulations, the triumphs, and the failures of the biblical characters in the books of the Bible, those 66 books called the Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So, dear Lord, I pledge not only will I study the 66 books in the Bible, but I will also study your 67th book called the Book of You. And I hope that all of you will include the 67th book in your Bible study as well. Amen. Thank you.